Method of imparting Khalsa baptism means the Amrit Sanchar ceremony. Pai Sahib, you, Pai Kartar Singh, are a baptized Sikh. You have joined the Panj Pyares, five elect to baptize others. Yet, how sad it is that you have not understood the spiritual mystery of baptism. For Khalsa baptism, the following things are essential. Now, most of you must know this. For administering the Amrit Sikh baptism, you require five Sikhs who are competent to administer the baptism by having lived according to the Khalsa code of conduct. Besides these five, there should be one Granthi, reader of Guru Granth Sahib, to preside over the ceremony by reading from the Guru Granth Sahib at appropriate moments. Before and after the ceremony, all these six persons should be contemplative of divine Naam, well-versed in Gurbani, and they should be regular in their prayers, which really means that these chosen individuals should lead a highly spiritual and moral life. They should be an example to the community. They should be an example to spirituality. None of them should have committed any act transgressing the Khalsa code of conduct. They must not only be morally sound, but also physically complete. As I said last week, they shouldn't have any of their joints removed, like finger missing or hand missing or whatever. They can't be blind either. Although the Sikh Sangha elects the Panj Pyares, but still they are asked to tell the truth about their inner life on oath of secrecy. Now, this sort of particular focus on the individual seems to disappear quite a bit on most of the jathis that do Amrit Sanchar Seva. Shromani Committee have chosen five. They employ them, and they're employed by them and paid by them to carry out these Amrit Sanchar ceremonies, which is not a bad thing, but it makes one think whether they actually lost this focus on the individual being at a highly spiritual stage to perform that ceremony. Others just pick any person that they think is okay, who has dhared, and taken Amrit, and that's okay, without really questioning, you know, are you leading a spiritual, moral, full of qualities life. Those who have committed any moral offence are not permitted by the Sikh code of conduct, are rejected and replaced. If there is a minor transgression, he is given some corrective punishment and prayer is said seeking forgiveness for him. Now, Pai Sahib was very, very strict on this. That was one thing that he was strict on. You know, he was strict on a lot of things, but this is a particular thing. At one time, he was given the opportunity to do seva of... Now, I can't remember which Gurdwara it was. It might have been Tarn Tarn Sahib. It might have been Panja Sahib. I'm not quite sure which one it was. I'll have to read that event. But on this particular event, they were going to do the Sarovar Seva. In other words, they choose Panj Pyare to start the Seva, then the Sangha does the Seva. And the committee who was in charge of the Gurdwara, the SGPC, the Shomani Gurdwara Prabandhak Committee, or the committee at that time, decided to pick some very prominent people from the Sikh community. One of the prominent person was the Maharaja of Patiala. And they picked him for the Panj Pyare as well, thinking, well, pick him, loads of money will come, blah, 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 prominent person. When they picked him, and Pai Sahib was also picked as a sort of a saintly person, and others as well, when they got together, Pai Sahib said, no, he can't be in the Panj Pyare. The type of life he leads is not even fit to be here. Nobody had dared say a word against a Maharaja, and they were very powerful in those days. But Pai Sahib had this character, a strong character. He said, no, it doesn't matter, where is Gurmat? You shouldn't be here. And he had to do a peshi, the Maharaja, and ask for forgiveness. It was only a baptismal ceremony. It was just a ceremony to perform the Kar Seva of the Sarovar. But Pai Sahib was adamant that if he were going to put him in the Seva, he has to do a peshi and ask for forgiveness for any sins he's committed. So if there is a minor transgression, he is given some corrective punishment and prayers said seeking forgiveness for him. Punishment is generally in the form of obligatory duties for a fixed period in the form of public service or special prayers to be recited daily for a certain period. This is like testing the wires, plugs, and the sources of electric power. Now, what Pai Sahib really is saying here is saying that the Amrit Sanchar ceremony has a comparison in terms of the lighting of a bulb. You cannot light a bulb without having the wires, without having the plug, and without having electricity coming from the generator. But you can't also light a bulb if the bulb is fused. All these things have to be in place before the bulb will light. And Pai Sahib really is saying that all these things have to be in place if it's going to have an effect on the person who's come for Amrit. The individuals who perform that ceremony, they must be of this caliber of spirituality to have the effect on the individuals. Otherwise, the desired effect will not happen on the individual who comes for Amrit. He said, this is like using the analogy of the electricity, of the testing the wires and testing the plugs and the source of electric power. The number three, then those who seek baptism are put to test. So first, those who perform the ceremony are tested one by one. And then those that appear for Amrit, they're tested as well. Or they should be tested. Only sincere seekers competent to live according to the Khalsa code are accepted. Now, unfortunately, what we get these days is that if we get an individual, say, we get a lot of people appearing for Amrit, and there's 200, 300, or even 500, the individuals performing the ceremony, they become delighted and happy, saying, good, numbers count. And they give Amrit to all of them. Now, I have met individuals who have taken Amrit, and they've taken Amrit from a respectful jatha as well. And when I asked him, what netnem do you do? He says, we weren't told to do a netnem. I said, I can't believe that. I said, the jatha you're mentioning would have told you what netnem to do. But because he was doing a large numbers, right, maybe the people at the back of the crowd or the sangat didn't fully hear what was being said or didn't fully understand. So it does happen that if you do such a large ceremony, there is could be a slight loss in power being given to all the individuals put together. Now, really, each individual should be asked and tested whether they are fit for Amrit or not. Unfortunately, it doesn't always happen. The rest are asked to continue as novice till their preparations are complete. In Pai Sahib's times, this was a must. You know, if you appeared and the Panchpariyas thought you were not ready, you were told, no, wait, come back later. And there was no sort of hesitation. If it meant 10 appeared, only 2 passed, and that was it, just 2 got numbered, the rest were told to come back later. Nowadays, if 10 come, they want 11, one more if possible, rather than say, no, we only want 3, 8, come back. This is like testing the bulbs. Just as useless bulbs are rejected, so also those who are not fit for baptism are rejected. Just as one accepted only those bulbs which can receive electricity, so also the 5 elect Panjipyaris select only those people for baptism who are mentally and spiritually prepared for it. Now, I had a wonderful tale just last week from somebody. A 12-year-old child appeared and he wanted Amrit. Now, normally that's a young age for a 12-year-old. And you normally say, no, you come back, you know, keep doing what you're doing, you come back. And he asked this Bibi, he said, Bibiji, I want to take Amrit, can I go inside? And she said, well, you look a bit young. You know what it means. You know what he said? He said, Bibiji, before you make your mind up, listen to what I have to say. He says, my mother and father took Amrit. They've now broken it. They started eating meat and taking alcohol. Me and my grandma live separate or eat separate. We make our own food. I get about 5 o'clock in the morning. I do all my netnem. In the evening, I do my reras, my kirtan sola. I keep my kakars. And the baby was totally shocked and amazed at this child of 12 year old. She says, can I go in now? And when she said, I see no problem, you going in. He says, well, who's going to vouch for you? He says, my grandma will. She's here. And when he went to go in, the periyadar outside said, I think you're too young. And the baby said, no, let him go. He's okay. I've heard his story. He's prepared. So you get these odd individuals, right, who are prepared, but in general, you have to look at the age as well. But you do get this extraordinary individuals who are gifted, probably from previous birth, or something's happened, or they brought something with them from the previous birth, that they got this much faith and devotion that, you know, they are entitled to it. And this happened to Paisav times as well. Some individual did pass the test, even when they're young. Number four, then all those elected for baptism stand before the holy Guru Granth Sahib behind the Panj Pyares. They are told by the Jathedar, leader of the Panj Pyares, the cardinal beliefs of the Khalsa code of conduct. They are also warned about the difficulties of the path and the ordeals they might have to face. They take an oath from them that they would be prepared to sacrifice their life for their faith and for righteousness. So before they are given Amrit, they are asked to give an oath that they will sacrifice, give their head to the Guru if the Guru desires it. If the Panth desired it, the head from now on is the Guru's Panth's head, not yours. If you learn to play the game of love with me, Jauto Prem Khelan Ka Chao, Sir Tar Tali Gali Meri Aao, It Marg Pair Tri Je, Sir Dije Kaan Na Ki Je. Carry your head on your palm in humble dedication, then enter the path of my faith. If on this path you wish to tread, hesitate not to sacrifice your head. Those who commit themselves to this spirit of dedication are given baptism. Those who hesitate to do so are rejected. They are considered unfit for baptism and are turned out. They should either prepare themselves as novices for a longer period or give up the idea. Now, this seems a bit harsh. Individuals come for Amrit, then they're rejected. But if you look at the overall picture and look deeper as well, if the person isn't ready for Amrit and he's given Amrit, I can remember an incident in Leicester many years ago now, over 30 odd years ago, when a Jatha came to Leicester. And they gave Amrit to whoever came there and gave Amrit, you know, openly near enough. But sadly, some of them, when the Jatha left, some of the individuals who had taken Amrit were pursuing them, following them, saying, Babaji, could you please take your kshara back? I can't do it. Within hours, they're trying to give the cars back, saying, oh, well, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have taken Amrit. Which means the bowls were totally unfit to be even used. They should have been rejected straight away. But that was done because numbers. They wanted the depending on numbers game, so we've given number to 500, or we give number to 20 or 30 or 40, rather than checking on the individual saying, are you really fit for Amrit or not? Number five, according to the unwritten laws laid down for the ceremony, an iron bowl, sarvada bata, a double-edged sword, a khanda, sugar pellets, patashe, are brought for the ceremony. Number six, even before the ceremony starts, the Panj Pyare come after taking bath and washing their hair. They wear clean clothes and, if possible, ceremonial robes and swords. The novices also come prepared similarly with five symbols and clean clothes. The invocation prayer, Ardas, is first offered by the Panj Pyare, seeking grace and forgiveness for all, praying that they all should courageously tread the path of Dharma and keep away from the life of evil and sin. Then they sit concentrating their mind on the divine presence of God. The sweet pellets, patashes, are then poured into the iron bowl filled with water, and then sitting around it in bir asana, which means one knee raised and the other feet behind you, an archer's pose, which is called an archer's pose, but when they sort of fire an arrow, that's how they sit birasan. The Panj Pyare hold the bowl with both their hands It is through this contact that they impart their magnetism to the bowl of baptismal water. What Paisa is saying here is that as the Panjipyari hold the bowl with their hands, right, they're also reciting Guru Mantra at the same time, and also the Netane Bani are being recited by one. And so their eyes are focusing on the water. Their own spirituality is also being put into the water through their hands and their eyes. And that's the sort of power that Paisa was talking about. The magnetism of the to the bowl of the baptismal water. The Panjipari recited the five morning prayers, Japji Sahib, Jab Sahib, Nand Sahib, the Savaiyas, and Kaviyobaj Binti Chaupai. Not in that order. The order is Sri Japji Sahib, Sri Jab Sahib, Savaiye, Kaviyobaj Binti Chaupai, and then Full Nand Sahib. One by one, each by 10, clockwise. He who recites the prayers holds the double-edged sword in his hands and moves it in baptismal water in slow, grinding motion. From the hearts of the Panjipyaris, divine power sheds its light through their eyes of the baptismal water, and their magnetic touch, recitation of the sacred hymns, imparts certain mesmeric divine powers to the water. There's also a spiritual communication between all the five Pyaris through this communication. In the presence of Guru Granth Sahib, the spiritual and mystic power of the Panjipyaris manifests itself as the collective divine power of Guru Nanak Dev Ji, Guru Gobind Singh Ji, embodied in the Guru Granth Sahib. And see, that's how the power is imparted to the water, which is only water to start with, then it becomes nectar, then it becomes amrit. So there's a lot of inner deep meaning to Amrit Sanchar Ceremony, not just Bata, Khanda, and that's it. It doesn't stop there. When the recitations of the five prayers are over, the Panjipyaris lift the bowl and then they say the invocational prayer, Ardas. After the Ardas, the Panjipyaris offer the baptismal water to every novice and impart to him the Gurmantar. Now this is one of those things that is very, very misunderstood, the Gurmantar. A lot of individuals in Sikhi don't even know what the Gurmantar is. And a lot of people go and seek the Gurmantar from individuals rather than Panjipyari. Because some of the Panjipyari only tell them Gurmantar Aya, Mool Mantar Aya, and leave it at that. So a lot of individuals then seek out individual Babes or saints and try to ask them for Gurmantar and how to meditate on the Gurmantar. Really, it's the duty of the Panjipyari, as the Guru at that form, time to give them the Gurmantar and also show them how to japana the Gurmantar, so that there are no doubt as to how to meditate on the Gurmantar. According to their spiritual competence and sincerity and devotion and faith, they receive the grace and illumination in this spiritual rebirth. Paisa was totally convinced of this, that when you take Amrit, you have a spiritual rebirth. Now, it's hard to believe that when you look at people who take an Amrit and you see most of them are dead rather than rebirthed, or they've dropped everything, or they're so lazy afterwards, right? You think, I can't see a rebirth here. It's more like going back to his own bad ways again. But then you see the odd individual who suddenly flies past in a rocket and saying, that's a rebirth. And they're the ones that inspire others to say, yes, Amrit is a rebirth, but only for the individual who went in that ceremony totally focused and devoted to Guruji, and he received the Guruji's blessing through the Panjipyari. Then for him, it's a rebirth. For the others who just went there because parents said Amar Shakala, or friend said Amar Shakala, or girlfriend said Tuhun Sana Ralja Amar Shakala, and they only went for that, then the chances are that the rebirth will not be full there. But, like I said, for the few individuals who are totally focused on receiving the Amrit, it will be a rebirth, and they will never look back. But then You have to have a lot of sangat afterwards to really maintain that momentum. Mm. And mostly we lose the sangat afterwards, we lose the momentum then. To keep that momentum, you need the sangat, continuous sangat. So after all this, I have said all this, Kartar Singh now saying, you have said something about mesmeric powers, but I have not understood it clearly. And on that note, I'm going to stop.